I'm Anne Strange Champs, and most weeks, this show comes to you from a studio. But every now and then, we escape. This May, we took to the best of our knowledge on the road. We packed our gear and our scripts and our producers and engineer in a van and drove 6 hours south to St. Louis, Missouri. We did a live show there at the Sheldon Concert Hall. We invited a bunch of local writers and performers on stage, and they floored us. With their talent and their wisdom and moments of surprise. And if you're not already intrigued, just one word for you: beatboxing. So we couldn't squeeze the entire 90-minute show into one radio program, but as a podcast listener, you get something extra. Meet Saria Conaway, our musical guest and live sound designer. Enjoy. And now, one woman who can make herself sound like 10, the incredibly talented Sinuso Pro.
How are you? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. This is just so much fun to be here. And your music is fantastic. Thank you so much. And how on earth did you figure out how to do that?
Oh, it's actually really simple, Anne. You sing into the thing, and then you like play through the thing, and then you affect the thing, and then the thing goes into the thing that repeats the thing. You keep layering the thing to make this big, beautiful thing. You know, I'm not sure what's so hard to understand. No, just kidding.
How did you get to making music like that? Like, you were classically trained, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I guess coming to St. Louis and finding myself in a couple bands, I would play, or I would write songs for the group, and the group always rejected them, not understanding what was happening in here. So after, you know, I can't even count how many rejections from two different groups, I was really getting down on myself, like, maybe I'm not a songwriter, maybe I can't write songs. And I was like, no. The word I'm not gonna say, but no, F that. I can write songs, I'm gonna do this. And I saw a friend of mine, he had a boomerang loop pedal and he was just kind of looping things. I was like, whoa. That's it. I just did not go to the store and buy all this at once. This is a collective thing that I've gathered over the years, but just slowly starting to keep building this rig until what it is today to be able to do what I want to do. And granted, this obviously is a stripped-down set compared to what you would hear on a live recording. I'm sorry, not a live, but a recording, an album. An album I have the freedom of adding more and more and more and more and more layers without any problems. If I had 8 arms and legs, yeah, I would do that live, but I don't, so I'm kind of limited.
But is this kind of like being a one-person orchestra? And do you think of this as, like, does your classical training mean that you think of this as almost symphonic? Is your music structured?
Yes,
like classical music is?
I am very much into arranging. I don't believe in anything sounding exactly the same. And what I mean by that is if you write a standard song with the structure of a chorus, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, I don't want any of the verses to sound the same. I don't want any of the choruses to sound the same. So either I'm going to build and build or just change something rhythmically, something. I mean, the chord progression generally stays the same throughout some of these songs, but I just really into that, and I get really annoyed whenever I hear music and I'm like, that's the exact same thing, you know, I just heard that. You could have done so much better. That's okay. It's still a good song. Still a good song.
So St. Louis has an amazing musical tradition. I mean, we've been driving around. Josephine Baker came from here. We passed passed the street where Tina Turner grew up. Miles Davis was from here. Chuck Berry, father of rock and roll. I mean, so many great. And there's a whole St. Louis hip hop movement. Mm. So did any of that influence you? I mean, growing up or feeling like you're from St. Louis?
I actually didn't grow up in St. Louis. I grew up in a little town called Rolla, Missouri, which is actually 100 miles southwest from here.
I know where that is.
Oh, okay. There's
still Missouri.
So, yes, while I understand all the great artists you just named from St. Louis, they did have a influence as far as proximity, but growing up in Rolla wasn't like I can just get access to that. The internet wasn't really a thing, so unless my parents had those records at hand, I wasn't able to listen to it at will. So honestly, my dad got me into a lot of music from Earth, Wind, and Fire to, man, I fell in love with Queen in like 1996 maybe. And then I realized, I was like, oh man, I was buying all these books and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, Freddie Mercury's dead. I was like devastated after learning that, you know, just
you weren't
one of those
the only
things.
One.
But yeah, just listening to all different types of genres of, you know, music, because to me, music is really universal. And
well, you told me John Williams is a big influence, right?
Correct. Like whenever I was a kid, you know how adults ask children, what do you want to be whenever you grow up? And kids are like, I don't know, fireman or nurse or a teacher. I was like, I want to be John Williams. And they would look at me like, who is that? Or if they knew, they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write scores for movies. Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
But so you came out with an album, your fourth album, Vox, last year.
No worries.
But it's your best. And a bunch of the songs are almost like story songs, and they go back to music you wrote a long time ago when you were a teenager. And I'm going to ask you to play a song, but I really, really want you to tell the story of Petey the Turtle.
Yes. So I started off violin Suzuki method at age 7. And by 8, my mom had enrolled me in a music theory class. So, you know, I started writing my first sheet of music or pieces of music at the age 8. And I actually found the notebook of staff paper prior to recording this album. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is funny because I'm looking at my horrible handwriting and I can barely keep the notes and the lines and the spaces appropriately. And I was like, oh, I remember this song. I'm going to actually record it. So on the album, I wanted to recreate how I introduced the song to my dad. My dad was trying to watch a basketball game, a Bulls game. And I was just like, Dad, I wrote a song. He's like, okay. And I'm like, but, I mean, don't you want to hear it? And he's like, where's your mom? I'm like, you know, so I did this whole entire thing just to, you know, put me back in that place of how excited I was that I wrote this and I wanted to share it. And, you know, I was more like an annoying gnat to my dad at the time period. But I then later in high school, after taking another like AP music class, I actually decided to arrange it. So it was a cute little kid song written by a kid, me as a kid. And then almost a decade later, I'm arranging it as a young adult. And then now, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but now I released it on the album. And it's just like a way for me to validate myself of just being grateful at my persistence, and despite, you know, accusations that I'm diluting my culture by writing this type of music, just to go ahead and put it out there and be proud of what I did, no matter how old I was.
Way to go. Thank you. So you're going to give us a song, something from the album?
Yes, so I'm actually going to do the title track of the album. The album is called Vox. Vox obviously means voice, so the album is strictly a cappella. There's no instruments other than the human voice. And like Anne said, I did write most of the songs in my teenage years, so you know, they're all really, really old to me, but they're new to all of you, so you can check it out on Bandcamp and you know, other stuff too. We don't need to get into that. I'm gonna go ahead and start. I get really awkward right before I play a song, okay? Everyone has a voice. It could be your hands, your feet, your mind, your body, your eyes, ears, tongue, anything. But you've got to learn how to use it. This will take time, energy, discipline, motivation, but most importantly, thinking objectively in search for truth. The truth can break down our fears and allow us to not be branded or stereotyped by others. It can restore your free will so that you can express yourself how you see fit. This expression is what drives us. It's the inspiration, it's the creative energy, it's the meaning and value. It's the connection to ourselves. And hey, it's contagious. So we should all step up and make some noise. Because this will create a platform allowing conversations to take place, providing perspective, creating understanding, promoting tolerance that will lead to acceptance, building meaningful connections. It's all about the experience, which is the reason why we as human beings are here, to experience ourselves, our lives, our communities, our world. Everyone has a voice. It all depends on how you use it.
That was Saria Conaway, also known as Sina Sopro. This podcast extra is just a taste of the full hour we'll be airing next, our live stage show from St. Louis, Missouri. So look for that in your podcast feed soon. To the Best of Our Knowledge comes to you from Madison, Wisconsin, from the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio, and from these folks.
PRI, Public Radio International.